Welcome to The Sage Sayers, my bi-weekly podcast on business communications tips and strategies and ways to find and see the gift in life's challenges. I'm your show host, DG McCullough, Debbie Gardiner McCullough. I'm an executive communications coach from New Zealand based in the state of Wisconsin. Each episode, we help you feel a little less stuck and the challenges coming up for communicators in these very trying times. And we interview those who've reinvented, triumphed, and used effective communications with themselves and others to bring positive life change. Season 4, Episode 5. My guest today is Jill Stardicker. And she's right beside me. We've just had a lovely walk or a little sniffly from the cold.
Absolutely.
But Jill, I'd love you to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Well, hello there, listeners. My name is Jill Stardicker, and I am a pharmaceutical sales professional, have been for the past 27 years, but I have kind of a unique job at this point in time because I have been in more of the Western medicine field for 27 years, but in the past 4 to 5 years, I've been incorporating a lot of holistic healthcare within my realm of thinking and trying to kind of merge the two together to not be so opposed to one another.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. It is already making you laugh.
It is.
Quite a noble endeavor. Oh. And I'm going to be asking more questions about that because I'm sure many are curious like me. But what first got you started, dear Jill, in the work of pharmaceuticals? How did you know that was your potential first career?
So it's really funny. I didn't, honestly. My father will tell everybody that it was his idea, that he thought that pharmaceuticals would be a good spot for me. But I honestly went to school originally to become a medical doctor. I was always interested in the healthcare field. I always felt that that was the spot for me. And I think the underlying bit of that was I always just wanted to be helpful to people. Always had a real interest in anything to do with health, fitness. I was a professional figure skater for many years. So that fitness portion was really big to me. So I went to school, had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up, except for that thought process of being a doctor.
Because you wanted to help.
Because I wanted to
help. And because you liked health and fitness.
And all of that, exactly.
Did you have doctors around you? Anyone in your family?
No, but I did have a brother with type 1 diabetes. And I think that's kind of, I catapulted into being really interested into why does he have type 1 diabetes? What are some of the underlying reasons for it? And honestly, it was more of a scary diagnosis when he was diagnosed because all I heard when I was 12 years old was that it was diabetes. So I thought, oh my goodness, is my brother going to die? Right. Oh. So with all that being said, that was kind of one of the launching spots of my interest for that medical field. But yeah.
So you went to college.
I went to college.
And at what point did you realize you were not going to be a doctor?
So I went to college and probably my freshman year, towards the end of it, I realized with the grades that I had, I declared that my major was going to be biology with a minor in chemistry. And at that point in time, I didn't know that my minor was a secondary minor was going to be in epidemiology. Yeah, so I realized that my grades just were not going to be cutting it at that point in time. But I knew that I loved biology. I knew that I loved organic chemistry. I knew that I loved that whole realm of thinking. And I just am like, you know what? I'm going to get this degree and we'll figure it out later.
And you did?
And I did.
So how did you figure it out?
So I was told by so many people that I would not be able to break into pharmaceuticals right out of college. And that just made me more determined. When somebody tells me I can't do something, it's more that, oh, no, I will show you that I can.
Is that the biggest factor in you?
I think so. I think that competitive drive. I think the fact that I put the bar higher than I felt like I could ever achieve it. But sometimes I was surprising myself and I achieved those bars. So I was like, wow, I can do this too.
So how did you break in?
My aunt actually was working in an office and she was telling another pharmaceutical rep about how she's got this niece and she's just, you know, such a go-getter and would be great in this field. And so she's like, well, bring her my resume. So my aunt did that. And I ended up getting an interview with a pharmaceutical company at the time. I was in Minnesota. I lived in Minnesota. And they're like, well, after going through the interview process, which was really grueling, and as somebody who was kind of going through it for the first time, I was like, wow, is this what the real world's like? And when they offered me the job, they said, well, wait a minute, though. We don't have a job for you in Minnesota, but if you want to move to Wisconsin, then you can do so, and we'll have a job for you there. So they gave me three choices in Wisconsin: Milwaukee, Green Bay, or Wausau. And I thought to myself, wow, I got to get a map out. So I chose Milwaukee because it was close enough to where I was from in Minneapolis, a northwest suburb of Minneapolis. So I figured, you know what? I'm just going to try and go to something I know, at least that. But I just took a leap of faith, didn't know a single soul here, and just moved. Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so what did you start off as in pharmaceuticals, and what did you grow to become today?
Okay. So yeah, so I actually started off as just a sales professional. Selling in the
diet. What were you selling?
I was selling things in the cardiovascular realm and then also the allergy realm. Mm. And I did that for quite a while until we launched a product for insulin management, which was just ironic because of the fact of my brother, right? And it was a new novel insulin at the time. And so I was so thrilled. I thought, oh my goodness, all my prayers were answered, right? I was in a disease state that I was very curious about, knew a lot about also. And I also knew that I could be helping my brother and anybody else like him. So that was super exciting for me. I ended up being in that role for a while until I got into more of a hospital role where I started to help people with protocol managements within the hospital. What happens if somebody's coming into surgery? They have diabetes. What are we going to do for them in order to make sure that their diabetes doesn't affect the outcomes of their surgeries, things like that. And that was a neat, neat job that I did for probably 7 years. And then moved on to another company that did diabetes medications, and actually the competitor of the company that I had been to too, and did more insulin for a little bit longer. And then I decided that I needed to move on and got into wound care for a little bit. So my diabetes helped with that. Many of the patients that I had seen and helped were patients that were diabetic and were developing wounds because of their diabetes, things like that. But all of this was kind of in the back of my head. I was thinking to myself, all these patients had a lot in common with one another. The fact that, you know, many of them didn't have the greatest lifestyle choices. I could see that throughout the entire time that I was working, but I didn't really put two and two together. Mm. I think when I started to put two and two together was honestly when COVID hit.
Okay. What shifted when COVID hit?
So yeah, so COVID for me, I thought to myself, there's got to be another way, right? Everybody's worried about this sickness and these illnesses and things like that. And then not knowing what to do, you know, and panicking a little bit and running to the hospital and things like that. And I'm like, there's got to be a way to help anybody and everybody with COVID not to need to go to the hospital. Like what kind of things can you do to help your immunity, to help the things that, you know, people were worried about, right? I started to talk to everyone I knew, get your vitamin D levels up, you know, start taking a lot more vitamin C, get out in the sunshine, put your feet on the ground, you know, do some earthing or grounding. And I started to realize that I was talking a different language. Mm. I wasn't really talking that Western medicine language as much as I was talking, you know, more the Eastern medicine ideas and things like that. I think one of the big things, though, with COVID is that I knew that there had to be something that would be helpful, even from a Western medicine standpoint. So I started to dive in. I knew how to read studies. That's what my training was all about. I could go and I could read a study. I would go back into the archives and say, what has worked in the past? Mm. We had had different viruses that had come through and what had worked in the past. And so, you know, I'd come up with some other medications, some other prescription medications that, you know, I felt very strongly about, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, in order to help these patients. But that was also voodoo medicine. And then I started to see, oh my goodness, we've got the Western medicine fighting with the Eastern medicine, you know, back and forth. And I thought that was, you know, really interesting as well.
So COVID and looking at just your own natural curiosity to alternatives to what was being brought in to treat COVID and protect you from COVID piqued your curiosity into alternatives. And at what point did you really lean into that, where you started to go, if we have alternatives for COVID, what else do we have alternatives for? And at what point did you know it was going to be more natural?
It's really funny. And I actually know exactly what happened here. People knew I was always more of, you know, if you can treat something naturally, let's do that. And I would get phone calls upon phone calls. Oh my gosh, my grandma has COVID. What should I do? Oh my goodness, my wife has COVID. What should I do? And I would walk them through. My best friend called me. She's like, Jill, I think I have COVID. What should I do? So I just spent a lot of time just helping them, natural medicines, things like that. But I also wasn't opposed to, you know, Western medicine at that point either. And again, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine were really helping people through this. Budesonide, some of those other products that were really helping people to get through the worst of COVID. But I think the biggest thing was I wanted people to not be afraid. And that goes along with what I see now. People will come and they'll have just gotten a cancer diagnosis. And their thought process right from the get-go was, oh my goodness, this is going to be the end. And I wanted the opposite for those people. I wanted people to say, no, there is so much that can be done. Sadly, so much that's kept from us, which really, I guess the only thing I can say to put it lightly is that maddens me because people will walk out of their doctor's office and they'll think, well, this is the end. And I'm thinking, no, this is the beginning. You can change your life around. You can change the way that, you know, you eat and put the nutrients and supplements and minerals and all the wonderful things in your body. And we can fight this, you know?
So tell me some of the things that you've helped fight, like starting with
my own family. Let's just put it that way. My dad was exposed to Agent Orange back when it was during the Vietnam era, but he actually was in Korea for a year. So he was on the DMZ line where he was exposed to Agent Orange. And with that has come a lot of different medical issues. One is type 2 diabetes, but then most recently, I would say about 7 years ago, he ended up having an aggressive form of prostate cancer. And with that being said, there were many modalities that I went to help him through that. He did go through the surgery. He did go through radiation. He did get a couple of shots. They're called Lupron for patients who have prostate cancer to subdue the cancer and things like that. But I also went very natural to the point where 7 years later, his doctor was like, you've got to tell me, because my dad kept it quiet. He's like, I don't want to tell my doctor what I've been doing. I want to keep it quiet. And I just want it to be between, you know, us. And finally, he just brought him this last time he went to the doctor, he brought him a big, huge sheet of all of the things that we were doing to help his prostate cancer.
And just give us a sample. Just give us a few.
So a few things were he was taking bitter apricot seeds. He was taking fenbendazole. He's been taking black seed oil. So many different things like that. But then the biggest thing was he does a juicing regimen every morning where the great thing is I tell him, I said, you get up in the morning and one of the first things you do is you juice carrots and celery and ginger and radish and, you know, cucumber and, you know, even throw in a couple, you know, green apples and, you know, maybe a lemon and things like that. Juice that in the morning, wait a half an hour before you have breakfast. And that juice goes directly into patients' bloodstreams. So, and then just clears out the inflammation and many different areas of the body that need that. I mean, I would suggest juicing to anybody that's dealing with an ailment. Now, that wasn't all he did. He would have breakfast still. He would have a normal, you know, day and things like that. But I've been asking him now to juice 3 times a day, you know, eat his normal meals, things like that. But his numbers have been outstanding.
Fantastic. And what about, you and I are croaky a little bit. It's allergy season here. Yeah. Our weather is fluctuating like crazy, really cold, really warm, warm, gusty winds. What about for just simple allergies? I know you've told me on our friendship walks, cut down your sugars, cut down your dairy, cut down your wheat. What are some other things that we can do that are natural? Of course, we can take antihistamines. I get acupuncture. That is very helpful, actually. What are some other things that we can do?
Yeah, well, an acupuncture is really great. I will be honest with you. That's a great way to go. I do talk about people who are very, very motivated and maybe have really nasty allergies. I do say that, unfortunately, that dairy was really a great product or a great thing to eat and to have protein and many different, you know, great things about dairy. But the problem is the pasteurization of dairy has really been tough on dairy. And the fact that they heat the dairy at such high heats, it changes the enzymes, it changes the protein, and it actually becomes a little bit more harmful. So many people can't tolerate dairy, so they do have bad allergies. I've known so many people who have even seasonal allergies, and then they get rid of dairy in their body, and then all of a sudden they're like, I don't have any allergies anymore. And it's really due to that dairy. The other thing that is really great is if you can get local honey from wherever you live, because a lot of times too, those bees obviously are feeding on that pollen that's local to you. And, you know, those are obviously some of the things that sometimes you have issues with. So those would be my, for allergy type of thing.
So interesting, Jill. And I wondered, a lot of my listeners like me are business professionals like you too, and they're on camera or they're in meetings a lot. And we know that part of executive leadership presence is looking good. In fact, recent research has told that appearance is something that younger professionals especially want to see in their leaders. So thinking through this lens of natural remedies, home remedies, what are some easy ways to look and feel good? And you mentioned earlier juicing. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier drinking lots of water. Mm-hmm. What else? I'm thinking of my grandmother's remedy that had really helped me as a liver cleanse in the morning, and I know it's helping my skin and eyes. Lemon, just slices of lemon and boiling water in a cup, and you drink that first.
Yep. And then the only thing I would add to that is throw a little Celtic salt in that lemon water. Ooh. Or yeah, that's it's something that people don't realize is that our cells, they need that salt in order for the water to be able to be absorbed into those cells and to have our cells working properly.
Why Celtic over sea salt or kosher or something else?
Yeah, I always say Celtic salt, but I do mean more sea salt. I also Himalayan salt. Those are all great salt choices. Mm. I think the bigger thing is to stay away from the iodine salt, but I would even tell you to stay away from iodine salt in your everyday diet.
Why is that?
Sadly, it's just not a good salt. It's the one that the doctors tell you, except for they don't clarify normally, that, you know, you should really stay away from, you know, these high salt diets and things like that. Now, it's true if that's the case with something with an iodine salt, it doesn't have those same properties as does a true sea salt, Celtic salt, Himalayan salt, those types of things, which are actually really good for you. So it's kind of one of those things where that's that fine balance. But I think that many people always think a low salt diet's better, but it's actually not the case.
And what about collagen? You've told me about collagen.
Collagen is another great. As we get older and as we age, I think by the time we're 25 years old, the amount of collagen that we even have in our body is depleted significantly. So to be able to give that back to our body on a daily basis is going to be extremely wonderful for our skin health, for our bone health, for just our cells in general health too.
I'm a big fan of collagen, especially now in menopause. I find my skin just looks a little bit more lustrous.
It's so important.
Yeah. So Jill, when you help others, especially through the natural healing, how do you feel?
It's unlike anything I could ever describe. One of the turning points that I had was when I would go to my workout place every morning and somebody would come to me and be like, Jill, I hear that you're talking a little bit more about natural healing and things like that. And they'll come to me with a different ailment. That was extremely touching to me. The best compliment that I could have ever asked for. And then when it continues to happen and happen and happen, I realize that I'm onto something, not only for myself and my family, but for those around us who are all kind of looking more towards, now I'm not bashing, I never will, Western medicine. There are some really great things that happen, but there's a lot of things too that we are become way too dependent on. Mm. And so my feeling is that if I can get people to think that we can do this, you know, on our own, and we can really heal ourselves in many different ways. Obviously, there's going to be a time and place for Western medicine, which my real goal is to see those two working together a little bit more. So to get back to your question and ask how I feel, it's an amazing feeling when you can see the difference that you've made just by a couple different suggestions that you've given to somebody in order to change their health, but really to put their health back into their own hands and to watch them flourish. Once they've realized that they can do it and how empowering it is to them, it's unbelievable feeling. I mean,
I love that.
Probably very much like how you feel when you're able to help.
Yes. When I see the unlock
in
my coaches' faces and in their expressions and tones when things slow and they have that aha, like, oh, that's what's behind this. Yeah. Or, oh, this is a coachable, a pattern that I can change, that I do have some control and influence over. It's very spiritual, very uplifting. And we're having our interview as we close it up, but it's actually International Women's Day. I had no idea until a dear friend and former client wrote to me and wrote me a very uplifting compliment on how she viewed me as a woman. Jill, I view you as my friend. I view you as the mother of one of my son's friends. That's how our friendship began. And as fellow entrepreneurs and strong-willed, curious, ambitious, driven woman, what's possible for you and for what's ahead for you and the people you want to heal?
Yeah, you know, this is such a special day because I feel that piece of us, that deep down piece of us, right? We are women, you know, in many cases, wives, mothers, things like that. We've always been that caretaker, right? Mm-hmm. Mom always has the answer for everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always, I know my husband does this all the time. Go ask mom, go ask your mother, go ask your mother if those things. So I take my job very seriously, not only my motherhood job, but also just I feel that that's just innate in me. I want to help. I've been that way since I was a little child. And I feel like I've grown up to be that person. I mean, that, so I guess, you know, the whole point of, you know, National Women's Day is more so the person that we've all become, right? And whether it's a mother, whether it's a, you know, a provider for, you know, better health, or even in your case too. So I actually want to bring that question back to you and find out, you know, what your thought process is and how you feel about, you know, this special day too.
Yeah, International Women's Day for me makes me emotional, I'll be honest. I even just getting that text from my dear friend Madhu, and if you're listening, Madhu, thank you for reminding me. The fact that I needed Madhu to remind me it was International Women's Day, I think brings up for me the opportunity, but also the gift. Women are amazing multitaskers, whether we're mothers or not, whether we're wives or not. We are trained to do things, a lot of things for others. And I think what comes to me today on International Women's Day is power, possibility, opportunity. I'm an entrepreneur, and the older I get, the more I identify that way. And being a coach has been so empowering for me. I gain instant feedback of what my skills and strengths are. And I guess this International Women's Day, I want to really sit with them and think of the compliments I've received lately. It's been, Debbie, you're very creative. Debbie, I love your writing. Debbie, you help me think. You help me see. And my goal today on International Women's Day is to sit, reflect with those, write them down, and do more with them. So I gain feedback. I'm an excellent writer. Write my books, create the space for them, help others write their books. I find creativity is a strength, and create and make that time for daily art because I am a creator.
I love it. Inspire, right?
Like, yeah, and inspire. So that's what comes to me. Thank you for asking me, Jill. Yeah,
absolutely. I just think it's important.
It is very important. And I'll just share one final thing for my listeners. I think one of the biggest challenge my woman coaches come to me with is time. Time management. How do I have the time for me? Well, Jill and I we've done something really cute and I think signature for us both. We took our friendship that started from our sons being friends. We created a weekly cadence where we walk each Sunday around 5. It's a moving target. As spring becomes nearer here in the state of Wisconsin, that means we can walk about an hour. And we walk, we talk, we listen, we co-create, we inspire and encourage. And I would say 80% of our conversation ties to our ventures, right? And our hopes.
It really does. And it's inspiring, right? Because there's so much that we can do to make the world better. And I think both of us have that in common where that's the one thing that, you know, if I can just make one person's day every single day, I feel like that's a successful day, right? I think that's a wonderful, anyway, that's just my goals.
It's beautiful. Well, thank you, Jill. It was such a pleasure having you on your show. How can my listeners find you if they're wondering about natural health, natural healing, or have questions even about medicines?
Well, I'm in the midst right now of putting together a website, but right now I am on Facebook as the only spot, just because I'm very new to the whole, you know, sector of, you know, starting my own business and things like that. But I do have a piece on Facebook called Refocus Your Health. So if you were just to search that, every 2 or 3 days, I will put a tip on there about something that we do for our health to make our health for our families better. And it's just, it's gone over pretty well, just because a lot of times there are things that you wouldn't think of. So.
Oh, well, thank you, Jill. You will be coming back. I'll be calling you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to The Sage Sayers. Thank you to my coaches for inspiring every episode. Thank you also to my excellent producer, Dota Nagini, and my friend, of course, who brings elegant edits every time. And if you'd like to reach out to me for coaching, training, or to become a guest on the show, email me at hangingrockmedia@gmail.com. Visit my website, hangingrockcoaching.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn via the show notes. Bye-bye for now.